Don't sing if you want to live long. They have no use for your song. You're dead, you're dead, you're dead. You're dead and out of this world. You'll never get a second chance. Plan all your moves in advance. Stay dead, stay dead.
Sorry,
stay
I'm just in a weird fucking place in a weird attic where there's like people walking in and out, and it's confusing me and freaking me out. And I'm kind of freaked out right now. But here we go again. Hey, what's going on? Welcome back to the Horrible Podcast, where we like to bring you a uniquely face value view on horror movies. This is our fourth Patreon episode, and we're going to talk about The Burbs, Leprechaun Origins, and what we do in the shadows. I'm Devin, and I'm not here with the co-host physically, but I am spiritually. I'm over in Long Lake Camp. We'll talk about that in a second. It's in Long Lake, New York, kind of near Lake Placid, which you guys discussed. But what's up, dudes? Manton, how are you doing, man?
Devin, when you said that you're here spiritually, I like to imagine that you're dead and that you're actually communicating to us in sort of like a Stranger Things style through a radio.
This changes everything.
Hey, no spoilers. I haven't seen it yet, but I also generally like to imagine I'm dead. That's cool. Manton, how have you been?
I've been really bad, man. I just can't get by without you.
Fuck
such
off.
Honesty.
Hey, Bleachster, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm already getting the sweat beaten. I had to rush home to do this cast, and just ripped a huge fart. So I'm pretty much at about 1% right now, which is more than I usually have.
Dude, you are the 1% for sure.
I'm the shrimp. One shrimp.
I'm talking politics right now, guys. We get real political sometimes. Just a heads up. Trump, am I right?
Yeah.
Dylan, man, talk to me, man. Politics.
Trump,
what's
Hillary,
up?
Yeah. Bernie Sanders.
The purge.
The purge. Election year. Yeah.
Republicans, Democrats.
Yeah, right?
Hey, USA.
What about erection year, though?
Hey, what about? And you know what? I'm getting an erection year over here now that I'm hearing your sweet voice.
Oh, boy.
His one erection of the year.
It's the yearly one. I wasted it.
I'm looking at Dylan's pants right now, and I see nothing. So
what's going on?
It's all normal.
Disappointment.
Speaking of the purge, there's a thing here at camp. I kind of alluded to that.
You guys purge at a kid's camp?
Dude, I swear to God.
We don't let them eat more than one meal.
No, it's I'm doing a leadership position here, but there's something they call camp sleep once a week where they like legitimately force everybody into their fucking cabins and they will not let you do anything except lay in your bed for like 3 hours.
That is so fucking weird.
It's bizarre. Like even like the leaders and like the counselors, they're like, no, you have to do it. So they'll literally get everybody in there and I'll look out the window and they'll ring this big bell. That's kind of like the purge siren.
That's like Silent Hill.
It'll be like, I was going to say.
What the fuck? What is the...
And it's just dead outside, except for the maintenance. And the maintenance dudes all happen to ride fucking big ATVs and shit.
So they can't sleep? Like, everyone else can sleep, but not the maintenance guys.
It's just dead silent. They ring the bell, and then, like, these guys roll up in these ATVs, like...
like they just get rid of everybody so these guys can just play around on their ATVs.
They can do donuts in the fucking main foyer or whatever.
They're like, well, look, assholes, go to bed. We got some four-wheeling.
They're just cracking beers out on the lawn.
This sounds great.
It's so odd.
Damn.
You guys hear my radio in the background?
A little bit.
Listen. Do you hear that?
It's a mom on the phone or something.
From here, it sounds like one of those number stations. Honestly kind of terrifying.
Yeah. 69, 420, 123, 56.
Jesus Christ.
I held that up to the microphone so you guys get an idea. But everybody here is fucking European. Like it's they actually say I'm knackered all the time, legitimately.
Oh, are you going to start saying that, you numpty?
Are you saying everyone's having sex with Europeans or they are European?
Fucking
I'm
Europeans.
Confused.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
Everybody there is fucking Europeans.
Oh, okay.
Everybody there is fucking Europeans. No, 90% of the staff is either European or Kiwi or fucking Australians. But I'm one of the few minorities here because I'm black. If you're listening,
political.
You guys probably,
hey,
you haven't seen me. You probably imagined what I look like, but I'm black. All right, so we're gonna go into our explanation of what this episode is real quick. It's listener submitted. It's Patreon. Patreon is where you can subscribe to us monthly, and if you do so for a low price of $6.66 a month, you get to choose a movie that we have to review, be it shitty or one that you really like, or one that you really like that actually happens to be shitty, which
that's
totally
happened
before. Yeah, but Patreon, you go to patreon.com/horriblepodcast to get in on that. Also, there's some things that I'll tell some stories that are happening at camp throughout this, but there are some things that I can't say that like it's just part of the the agreement and the contract here. But you know what? I'm going to say if you guys get to our Shoot the Shit episode, it'll be more exclusive. It won't be all over the internet that anybody can listen to, only certain subscribers. I have some really cool, interesting things to talk about that's happened here. And I was thinking about doing that next Shoot the Shit episode. I Skype in because there's some really fucking weird, crazy shit going on here. But I'm not going to say it.
So you're
going to
break your
everybody.
Non-disclosure agreement just for our Shoot the Shit episode?
Well, specifically we'll see. Maybe,
for
maybe
$2.
Not. I don't know.
Hey, it's three.
Oh, it's three?
It's three, yeah.
It's $3 a month.
That changes everything, actually. Yeah.
So next Shoot the Shit episode, I got some things I want to talk about that's pretty crazy. One little a little teaser is the first time I arrived at camp, I got picked up from the airport from a car, obviously, but it was like a two-hour drive.
What, a car?
I don't know why I said from a car, obviously. That part
you mean
was
it wasn't a limo? That's weird.
Superfluous.
I was expecting a blacked-out tinted limo, but I only got a regular car.
Hey, to be fair, it was a BMW convertible.
What?
So fuck off. Anyway, that's the story. No, the story is halfway to camp, they had to do a detour because some staff member had to go to the hospital. So I first thing I did was get in the car and go to a hospital. And when I showed up, it was one of the lifeguards had two of his fingers severed right before I got there from a tubing accident. It was from
how do you get your fingers severed in a tubing accident?
He's like waving with just three fingers. Welcome to the camp, buddy.
God. What's the name of the dude from The Burning? It was that fucking Cropsey.
Yeah.
Cropsey.
I was going to call him Numpty, but yeah, it's Cropsey.
Yeah.
There's legit a scene where Cropsey chops off a dude's fingers in that canoe scene. And I saw it. It was fucked up. It was his fingers were hanging off only by a tendon. It was nuts.
That sounds like needs to be get attended. Am I right?
That's bad. No.
What?
That's bad.
Come on.
You should be ashamed of that.
Transition.
Yeah, that was pretty rough. Transition. I did not miss that. But anyway, I got some really crazy stories to tell. So if you guys want to listen to or subscribe to our Patreon for just $2, go for it, and I'll tell you some weird shit. But let's get into it. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Add us there if you haven't, and rate us. That helps us out a lot. We're also on email and Twitter. At HorribleCast is our Twitter, and our email is HorribleCast@gmail.com. We have some in a queue right now, but we're on a time crunch, and this is our Patreon episode. I want to focus only on that. So next episode, we'll get those emails out. But for now, I'm just going to tell some weird stories, and we're going to talk about movies. And again, our movies are The Burbs, Leprechaun Origins, and What We Do in the Shadows. We'll start off with The Burbs, who was submitted by whom, and who wants to give a synopsis, Dylan?
I guess I should, yeah. This was submitted by Megan, my lovely girlfriend. She loves this fucking movie, so she really wanted us to do it. She was curious whether or not we should do it, since it's barely horror. I told her to go ahead and do it anyway.
I think it fits.
We'll get on that. We'll talk about that for sure. But The Burbs is it's in like 1983 or so, movie with Tom Hanks and Carrie Fisher in their prime, Corey Feldman in his prime, and Bruce Dern not in his prime, but still there, and some other dude. But they are all neighbors in this little cul-de-sac where the new neighbors who move next door to Tom Hanks and Carrie Fisher are super odd, and they never come out, and their house is all dilapidated, and it's a very Fright Night-esque kind of, you know, next door neighbor might be into something weird. Tom Hanks is just trying to have a nice little, you know, break or so. You know, he's got a week off from work. He just wants to sit and relax, but his neighbors are kooky. His neighbors are spooky. He's trying to get to the bottom of whether or not his neighbors are doing some bad, bad things.
So, I thought you were going to go with a third rhyme on that.
I couldn't think of anything in time. Fruit? Nope. Got nothing.
Booster, what's up?
So, one thing, like, Dylan was mentioning, like, he's just, like, on a little vacation, which I thought was pretty funny, and I totally, like, recognized his plight. He just wants to sit at home and do jack shit, which I'm like, you know what?
Absolutely.
I respect that 100%. But, like, it's kind of funny as you're watching it. It's just curiosity just overwhelms this little neighborhood. And so Tom Hanks and all of his little buddies start scheming.
Hey, sorry, I'm talking to the radio. Keep going.
Okay. Probably because they're so bored that they want to, like, figure out what's going on with their neighbors. Like, it's just their curiosity just gets them. And in a typical neighborhood fashion, everyone is extremely fucking nosy and just is constantly observing this little house. I thought that was pretty funny.
Watching this movie kind of felt a lot like our real life. Because
exactly.
me and Bluster live in, like, the worst house in the neighborhood. And we're
the
only...
You are the Klopex.
We are. And we're, like,
we're
youngest
the
people.
Yeah.
And, like, I always constantly feel like people drive by and, like, look at our house and, like, shake their head and just, like... Well, I could really relate with the freaks that lived in this dilapidated house.
Sadly, I didn't want to say that, but yeah, I connect more with the odd family here that's potentially alien. Because, like, I remember
guys,
I first
give me
moved
one
in.
Second. I got to go take care of something. Keep talking.
Okay, you don't you don't have to interrupt us to say that.
Bye, Devin.
Are we still doing?
Yeah, just keep going.
Okay. What was I going to say?
I don't know, man.
All right, I'll do a countdown.
What a countdown?
Well, fuck it. Whatever. But anyway, when I first moved into this neighborhood, like you move in and you're driving in, you know, I'm moving my stuff and I'm like waving everybody. Everyone's like waving back. But then the second I put my stuff in this house and they realize that I lived in this house, now whenever I leave the neighborhood and come back, no one fucking waves. They're
no
just
one
like,
fucking
they just
waves.
Look away like, don't look, Jimmy.
It is
he lives in the shitty house.
It is like a very common problem, I guess. Like, you know, people say there goes the neighborhood, right, when somebody moves in. And like this family moving in, like I guess Tom Hanks is actually in his good graces, like his character's trying, Ray's trying to, you know, let them live and let live next door. But his crazy neighbor Art is making sure that they get to the bottom of these weirdos or whatever. And then slowly as they're introducing themselves to them, you know, it becomes weirder and weirder. Like there is something definitely up with this family, whatever that might be. And so, you know, he kind of gets, I don't know, pulled along in Art's little schemes.
Sure, yeah.
And shit just gets just like suburban weird.
He's definitely like that. Art is like that friend that just like, I think everyone has one where they just always are convincing you to do shit right. that you don't want to do, or like egging you on to do something. And because of that, he gets him in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it's almost like, I mean, clearly Tom Hanks is just trying to fucking do his own thing.
Guys, I've got a breaking news update. Devin says, I'll be like 15 minutes, move to the next movie. So we're going to continue like we have without Devin.
We'll get what we can, I guess.
It's almost like he's not here. It's
I
weird.
Think he's out getting his fingers chopped off or something.
Can only hope. Like Silent Hill style, like where he puts his hands
in
to the
3D.
Bars.
And
just like,
and they just go. Whoosh,
I will say, dude, if that movie, if I had been able to see it in 3D, would definitely would have been
a gem.
You
know, this is like the third time in a row we've talked about Silent Hill.
No more. Okay. But
it's bad, but at the same time I'm not upset that we're talking about Silent Hill again.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, so Burbs, I'm wondering, like, I've never seen this movie, I didn't know anything about it, and I'm actually surprised this movie is as early 80s as it was. It definitely felt 90s to me.
It
felt like
it really does. Yeah,
it almost felt like Office Space to me, like early 90s, like weird suburban culture.
There's something oddly timeless about, like, Joe Dante, the guy who directed this, did Gremlins
he did some
2
great stuff.
Which Gremlins 2 is down that pipeline. I cannot
he did Small
wait.
Soldiers which
he did
is
Small
a,
Soldiers which is actually fairly similar to this
I, it's
one.
A
I
guilty
like it.
Pleasure
I love
mine.
It yeah I think it's a really good movie,
at least when I was a kid. I haven't seen it since I was like
it's probably terrible
early.
It still holds up better than you'd think,
really,
despite just being Phil Hartman's last movie. There's a lot going for it.
Okay, so sad.
But like, he has this sort of, I was telling Megan when I was rewatching this one, like, this feels like the best Tim Burton movie that Tim Burton didn't direct.
Okay.
Like, it's got this kind of this like weird suburbia kind of feel to it, and he nails like this little bit that makes it timeless in the way that something like Edward Scissorhands also does.
Yeah, actually, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I wasn't thinking Tim Burton, but the second when the movie starts, it does like a zoom in from outer space onto Earth.
Yeah, it's really impressive, actually.
Yeah,
it looks really good.
About that, yeah.
But the first thing you notice is that Earth looks like muddy and weird. It almost looks like really dark. It doesn't look like your typical, like, I'm zooming into a planet with green, lush, you know, grass.
Yeah.
And so the second they get to the neighborhood, it's almost like drab and dreary, kind of, which is probably what they're going for, but it definitely makes you think about, you know, Tim Burton's other shit. Obviously, he didn't do this, but...
Well, and the whole thing, like, the entire movie is set on this cul-de-sac, which I think is actually a set, but goddamn, it's an impressive one
really?
If it is.
Yeah, well, you don't think about it ever, because it's huge. I mean, it's a full-on cul-de-sac.
Right.
This is totally off subject, but it's killing me. Is Bruce Dern related to Laura Dern?
I think he's her dad. I think so.
Really? That's pretty cool. I don't know why, but I have been just thinking about that constantly. Well, but I don't want to look it up, because that's no fun.
On the topic of him, though, like, I love him in this movie.
Who did he play?
He's the like kooky sergeant.
Oh, right.
Oh, he was great. Yeah.
He adds, like, there's something really strange about this, like, group of three guys who go to it. Like, they're all really weird characters, and they shouldn't mesh together, but for whatever reason, like, you can buy them being neighbors who are just barely, like, associated enough to do that.
That's what's interesting, is that when the movie started, I didn't expect them to kind of be friends at all.
To come together.
I thought they'd be adversaries.
Well, it was, and there wasn't even, like, an element of, like, oh, they become friends over time. I think it's established that they kind of already are sort of friends.
At least Art.
And they're all sort of, you know, against the Klopeks. But I really liked the character dynamics in this movie. Like, there's something about this movie that feels very, like... friendly, like even the fact that they're sort of like peeping on these neighbors and stuff.
Right.
They do sort, you know, they do sort of learn some lessons and everything. But at the same time, like, I really thought everybody in this movie was pretty likable.
Yeah, it's a weird edge or a weird strange thing too, because like the comedy has an edge in this movie. Like, it's not like as friendly as you would think.
Yeah.
It's pretty dark comedy. but it does still feel really friendly, I think, with part of the setting that you have and everything like that.
I think that's the main thing you guys are talking about, is that it's in a little neighborhood. I mean, if you've ever lived in suburbia, you can like relate. People just kind of have like this weird kind of half friendship where you know everybody, right? And like you're
the
like
person you borrow cordial tools from.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't know about you guys, but I was going to bring up earlier that I was getting weird like Ghostbuster kind of vibes, because yeah, you have definitely these really strong personalities and they are driving the movie. I mean, it isn't the same kind of like flat humor, but I don't know.
And what's interesting about that is like really very little happens in this movie. Like it's a really small scale kind of thing.
Which I think hurts it a little later on. It gets a little draggy.
Possibly so, yeah. But at the same time, like it also makes it easier to jump into, because you're just focused on, hey, what's up with the neighbors? Like that's a really simple hook. Mm-hmm. And you've got, you know, the characters to guide you along through the way. And I never got tired of watching all three of these characters.
It's fun to just watch them. Plus, right. Tom Hanks does such a good job of he's the one that has the most change in the movie.
He really does.
Speaking of Tom and change, his outfits in this movie are on point.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He looks like a hipster like a couple years too early.
He does. Hot dad. I would massage his legs.
Hang on. Go ahead, Brandon. What would you do?
I would massage his legs and just admire his hams daily.
Nice.
Because the whole movie, he's wearing like these little short shorts and these little button ups. I'm like, ooh.
Carrie Fisher too.
He looks great. Yeah, everybody in this movie. Well, that's not true. But another thing I want to talk about is, like, you brought this up earlier, but the whether or not this movie fits on our podcast, I want to posit that it does. And I think the strongest thing for me is that even from the start of this movie, it feels like this is a perfect Halloween movie.
Oh, for
it
sure.
It does, yeah, which is why it was in Pumpkin Cinema.
Yeah, Nathaniel Soule put it in there.
I mean, it's perfect for, we were talking about this. We were talking about this during Leprechaun Origins, which is not a good popcorn in the background movie, I think. But this movie, you put it on the background, and like you said, Dylan, you could start watching it at any point in the movie, and you're going to be like, okay, I know what's going on.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to laugh at what the hell they're doing.
And it's pretty genuinely funny, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that definitely fucking saved
the comedy in here, and that's why Megan loves this movie so much. Like, is the comedy is, I think, just on point throughout the entire movie. It never really flags at all. And I think a lot of that has to do with just how good the performances are from
acting. Yeah. Absolutely.
One of my favorite sequences in the movie, there's a part a little earlier on where Art and Tom Hanks are talking, and he's sort of making fun of the Klopex and saying they're like Satan worshippers, and he says, Satan is good, Satan's our pal, I want to kill everyone. And then that night,
that's so good.
Later on that night, there's a really, really funny dream sequence.
Oh, I love that dream sequence.
Where they're taking Tom Hanks and they're preparing him as a sacrifice, and they've got like demon heads.
They're
like
putting him on
heads,
a grill, I love that.
And they put him on this giant grill, and they're like, Satan is good, Satan's our pal, I want, and they're like chanting it, and it's really funny.
They have a lot of good,
and that
like
scene
dark humor
is actually
like that.
Kind of frightening too, like that dream sequence is really pretty effective. There's a wonderful part where like a chainsaw just rubs through a wall at him and everything.
It's
kind of scary. Like it does work both as a like light horror and as a full comedy.
Tom has another great line in the movie. He says, I've been blown up, take me to the hospital, I'm sick. And I'm like, that's just so fucking funny. But I also was kind of wondering what you guys thought about this. This movie, to me, I can't tell whether this is meant to be for like kids or adults or what.
Not.
Well, I on one hand, I can see that it I would say it's not. But I almost
It'll
would say that it's not because
kids,
because it's about adults. And I think that kids might be kind of bored. Our youngest character is Corey Feldman. And
I fucking love him in
I
this
think
movie.
He's meant to be like
him.
A young adult, right?
He's got to be like late teens, like 17, 18 or something.
His character serves no actual purpose in this movie,
but
I fucking love him.
So
he's
funny.
So funny.
The second he starts talking, like he has this voice that just like immediately gets me ready. I'm like, yes, this dude's going to be cracking me up, doing some stupid shit.
Yeah, I'm like, and then once you get to the actual, like the Klopex, when they start introducing them, I think that first scene where they like go to their house and get in and are like having, you know, tea snacks or whatever with them is so fucking funny, like in just how little is said. And it reminds me of like this movie kept reminding me of Fright Night, which I fucking love,
which is a really good parallel,
not just that the, you know, the setting is the same and everything, like the way that it's shot is very similar too. Like the color palette is really kind of electric and cool, and that really does it a lot of favors.
Brandon,
you know what? Why don't you go ahead?
Gosh,
you
so
go
sweet.
Ahead.
Well, speaking of like detail and stuff like that, there was a lot of times where they would have some kind of like weird physical goof or something, and then they would damage like their environment, and they would still come back later. Like one of the first scenes, his neighbor Art or whatever is trying to shoot a raven or a whatever,
a crow,
it's in Tom Hanks' yard, and he shoots it with his pellet gun, and he just blows like the statue up that Tom Hanks has. Later on in the movie, he's climbing over the fence. It's the owl statue, yeah, whatever, is still, yeah, destroyed. Like, there's lots of like details like that that are in the background that makes it kind of fun to see it later. Like, haha, I laughed at that earlier.
Back to though what Manton was saying about like who's the intended audience, whether it's kids or adults. Like, I think Joe Dante does a really good thing with his movies. He's in all of his, really, like Small Soldiers was billed kind of as a kids movie, but it's really not.
It's
like,
pretty dark.
It's a dark movie. And then you think about Gremlins, like in the very beginning, or not in the very beginning, in the scene where Phoebe Cates is talking about how her dad died. Oh. That shit is incredibly dark.
This reminded me when I was in kindergarten. They showed Gremlins, but
what,
like,
the
only,
fuck?
Yeah, that's, but like, crazy. But like, it was kind of like a daycare kindergarten, but so like there was a couple older kids there, like slightly older, like a year or two older.
How old?
But they were still showing it, and they were like, no, none of you young kids could come out. But I snuck out there and was watching it, and it scared the shit out of
me. It's a scary movie, and it's got like gremlins and blenders and shit. Like, that's not a kid's movie. Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think that, like, I would say that a kid probably could watch this movie. Like, there's a lot of movies that I've seen from the 80s that are like comedies and stuff that I would say I would never let my kids watch, and I'm like,
this probably isn't one.
I think this one is probably fine for like young teens and
I think
stuff.
That yeah, I teens, think yeah, teens definitely, could definitely get something out of this, but I think as you get older it kind of like takes a different
god
tone.
We're a bunch of fucking dads, we're just sitting here talking about what would be suitable for our children. I don't
well
know.
Our
we don't
theoretical
call,
kids
we don't call Dylan Dadland for nothing, man.
That's true. Yeah, we do call him that. So is there anything before we get to reviews, is there anything that you guys wanted to say? We talked a lot about the positives. I know, I'm sure that we all don't have a fully positive view of this movie, right?
I actually don't. Now, I think that talking about it, I have better memories for this movie than maybe when I was watching it, but like I mentioned earlier, this movie gets a little long for me. I think that there's a lot of just like characters just having fun and interacting stuff, which is fine, but like things start to wrap up really quickly at the end, which is, it kind of like rubbed me, but like the whole time
rubbed
I was
you in like a good
rubbed
way.
Me
just
off.
Rubbed you. Hey, I'm back.
Hey,
I
welcome
timing.
Back, buddy. But I was a little bugged because Carrie.
Hey,
I feel like Carrie Fisher, like she just kind of was in the background. I feel like
she is, but there's like a couple of scenes where I think she's really well used, like in the breakfast scene with Art, where she's just like giving him shit, and he keeps eating it, and like her reactions are good. And then I think maybe my favorite scene in the movie is when they're at like Tom Hanks is waking up from that dream and he's in like a stupor or whatever. And he's on the deck and the two guys are.
Oh, I
and
love
they,
that.
They come
yeah.
and they're like, can he come out and play?
That was
and
really
Carrie Fisher's
funny.
Just like, no, I've given you my final
not,
answer. And
she's like, not until he becomes a normal human being again.
And they sob off. That was
like,
really
oh,
good.
She's funny and she's a good
yeah,
character.
Great.
But I do agree with Brandon. She's underutilized is the problem. And even his son, it was so weird to me.
Oh, his son just disappears.
His son literally disappears.
Well, they send him off. I don't know. I just.
Well, no, she goes off. The Carrie Fisher goes off with the son and she comes back. And Brandon pointed this out. She was like, where is their son? He's not even in the fucking car.
I think they mentioned that he was going to go stay with his friends or something, but it was just
I
like...
I don't know. It's
it
so
was,
offhanded.
It's weird.
I just feel like it was kind of cheap to just remove them from the situation because they could have had some weird, goofy interaction where it's more tension for Tom. I don't know.
I will also say, you say that it's long, but like I've seen this twice. The first time I thought it was a little long. The second time I actually didn't. I thought it was kind of too short. There's not a lot that happens. If you're looking for like a lot of like major payoff and like grand action or anything, this isn't that. It's a pretty small scale movie, so
which is fine.
And yeah, I have no problem with that, but I can see that being a knock for some people.
I think mostly what I feel is that it's not super long, but lots of the stuff that we're building up for to learn happens very very
quickly.
Close to the end very
so you,
quickly
you would say the pacing is off, I guess.
Maybe so. I feel like it would have been cooler to pace that, move that up a little bit, and then maybe see what happens. But
right,
I mean, it's a small qualm. Well, I mean, I don't know.
For sure.
Should we head to reviews now?
Yeah, Devin, you with us?
Nope. All right, then that's fine. We're going to give his review first.
I'm here.
Oh, he's here. Okay.
Welcome back, buddy.
All right, Devin.
No. Hey, no, I'm here.
Give your review, buddy.
You want to start off with you?
No, seriously, guys. Yeah, sure. For the record, listeners, you may or may not hear in the background my radio going off and me getting the fuck out, depending on how good at editing podcasts we are. Maybe we can silence
we're not
that
editing
while
that shit out.
Okay.
No, we're embarrassing you, buddy.
That doesn't embarrass me at all. It just might sound really shitty. But anyway, that might happen a few times, and I might just get the fuck out without saying anything. Who knows? But The Burbs, I mean, I kind of caught the tail end of what you were saying. It was fine. I think it's a good movie that could like end up in a pumpkin cinema type
book. It's in there,
where
yeah.
It is. Yeah. It is in there. Okay, no, I don't think it's necessarily a pure horror, but it's a send-up to horrors. And I think it's a perfect Halloween spooky time movie that you could watch with someone who doesn't necessarily like, you know, really intense horror movies.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it's a Halloween time movie, but it's not a spooky, scary movie. Mm-hmm. And it's fun. And it's got a, it does check all the boxes that Pumpkin Cinema sets up in its criteria for being fun, for being quick, for being of the time or whatever. But yeah. But yeah, it's certainly it's not a lot happens in it. I kind of was hoping for more craziness and more of an insane climax and more spooky shit. And that didn't really happen. So it was just fun, but it did leave a little bit to be desired. So it's a light gem from me, but it's definitely a good Halloween time movie for those who aren't super intense horror fans. What do you think, Manton?
Yeah, I think this movie is a lot of fun. There's a lot of genuinely funny moments in it. And I definitely do agree that, especially now thinking back to it, the end of this movie is just not, the payoff is just not quite there. Mm-hmm. And but like Brandon was saying, like had they kind of taken that ending and sort of stretched it out backwards a bit, I think that would have been so much better, because there is a point in the movie where you're like, all right, we kind of see what's going on here, and now we're dragging a bit. That all being said, this movie is a lot of fun, and it does have a really, really great, it has a great score to it. The music in this movie is excellent.
I completely forgot about that.
And it's not your typical 80s music, so you can't really accuse us of just loving synth shit, because this isn't synth.
It also sounds oddly timeless too, like a lot of
it does. Yeah,
oh,
it's yeah.
Great.
You sort of get like maybe like Brandon said, a Tim Burton sort of vibe from the music too, actually. But anyways, this movie is fun, and that's about all I can really say about it. So I am gonna give it a light gem as well.
Who do you want?
Yeah,
next?
I think we at the beginning. Well, Dylan, you can go in, but I want to correct. I think you said something like the early 80s. I'm pretty sure it's like 88 or 89. It's closer to the 90s.
I thought it was.
Yeah,
it felt very 90s to me. Yeah. I didn't look it up, but.
But in either way, Dylan, what do you think?
Yeah, I really enjoy this movie. Full credit to Megan. She loves this movie, but I'm not as in love with it as she is. I think it's a really fun one, though. And if you're looking for something along the lines of, I think Brandon mentioned Ghostbusters, it is very similar to that. And if you like Ghostbusters, you like Fright Night, you like kind of Tim Burton-esque movies, and maybe if you don't like horror all that much, but you just like listening to us because, you know, we're sweethearts, then this is a perfect movie for you. It's a really good introductory one, and it's an excellent movie, even for people who are hardcore horror watchers, too. It's a great comedy. Not as great as a horror movie, but still lots of fun. I'm going to give it a definite gem.
All right. Close us out with the burbs of Blootster.
Absolutely, baby. So as Devin was going through his review, I pretty much agree with Devin spot on. I think that this movie basically focuses on our few main actors, our few main characters, and just like really explores them and is as funny as it can be with just those people. And, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say this movie is a gem. I think it is such a good movie for Halloween time, like especially as part of like a marathon. You want to warm up. This is like your warm up.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You got your pumpkin beer. They just released it. You got your, you know, your cider on the left. You got this movie playing, and you got some popcorn, and you're just like thinking about other horror movies you're going to be watching soon. I mean, it just gets you ready. I think it'd be perfect for like in the background of a party, but I don't think it's perfect. I don't love it probably as much as Megan does.
Yeah. I don't think anybody does.
And I really wanted to. I just think there's a few elements of this movie that were maybe a little underused. I think they just knew where their money was at. It was in these, you know, Tom Hanks and his buddies. But, I mean, overall, I was not mad I watched it. I had a good time. And, fuck, the man mentioned, I forgot it, the soundtrack in this movie alone.
It's super solid.
I was not expecting it. Like, it's a total, out of left field. It's just so good. And it almost feels so serious, which kind of gives it a nice new tone. Yeah. So, I would definitely suggest this movie.
Cool.
Little Halloween movie marathon foreplay for you.
Absolutely.
That's the burbs. Getting you teased up.
So we're going to move on to our next film here in a second. But speaking of Halloween time, I had to mention it's something that I think about quite often here. I'm way up north in upstate New York in the Adirondacks, basically. And the weather at nighttime gets to the perfect fucking Halloween weather like I haven't like experienced in
already?
Years.
Dude, so jealous.
Due to global warming. Let's talk about
political.
Global warming. I know, right? No, for real, though, jokes aside, it gets down to like the low 60s. It's misty. It's foggy. And there's a fucking hot chocolate machine in the dining hall that's open all, you know, 24/7.
Fuck me, I want one of those.
So I just get, I fucking load up on some.
My hot chocolate machine
hot chocolate.
Is Devin. During one of our movie marathons, I was like really cold outside and hungry, and he's just like, you want some hot chocolate, buddy?
It was pumpkin chocolate. It was great,
oh, God,
dude.
That was so good.
Devin.
I make that bomb
that was,
ass hot
that
chocolate.
That was the first time that you watched
Texas
Chainsaw.
Yes,
wow.
It was.
It was
jealous,
probably the best
man.
Experience.
Maybe that's the reason you loved it so much,
we
man. Maybe it wasn't the movie.
You made it, Devin.
It was projected on someone's apartment apartment wall. And then he...
Someone's apartment wall?
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't even on your apartment,
yeah,
though, Devin.
It was
just
right, back right. neighbor. The guy came out, and he was like... Like, we thought he was going to get pissed at us.
He just started watching it with us.
He's like, yeah. You guys watching movies? He's like, that's tight. I'm like, just join us.
God damn, I miss the Ordo sometimes.
No, he came out, and we were like, oh, shit. And he was like, hey, you guys want me to turn the AC off so it's quieter? And we were just like, oh.
This guy's a... Dang.
And he had, like, a little kid with him, yeah. And he was like, oh, man, Texas Chainsaw.
Yeah.
Clearly, he's got good taste. Good
anyway, stuff. That shit has gotten me... Hopefully, it's not too much of a fucking, like... Maybe I hope I don't blow my load too early on the Halloween weather. I don't want to fucking, like...
You won't get tired of it. You're never going
to
get tired,
yeah,
of it.
Well, you're going to come back to Louisville, and it's going to be 115 degrees, yeah. And you're like, well, I'm going to go back to the mountains, because fuck this.
Yeah. No, it's great. I get flashes of nostalgia, and I'm so fucking ready to get back right in September, and that's so close. Oh, anyway... Let's talk about more horror movies. I've been fucking deprived. I get excited just fucking thinking about it. And maybe I like this movie more than it fucking should have been like.
Yes.
It is Leprechaun Origins from, I would love to say, my boy, but I'm going to let whoever gives us a synopsis, and it will be, oh, let's go with Blutster, because he's the leprechaun hater.
Perfect.
Here.
Perfect.
I think the most of us.
I was actually really, really crossed my fingers hoping I got to do this one.
I'm glad, because I did not want to at all.
Take it over, baby.
All right, so before I jump into this one, I want to give a little bit of backstory, okay?
Well,
so,
who gave us this one?
B-Twisted.
Hell yeah, brother!
B-Twisted, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, seriously.
So, we love you, though.
B-Twisted knows us, and he knows exactly why he suggested this movie. So
he does.
You motherfucker.
If you've listened to us for a while, you know that we've watched a few Leprechaun movies. I think we watched the first one.
Only two, actually.
And we watched Leprechaun.
Yeah. It just feels like more.
It feels like more. And so, we on the cast have a certain relationship with this movie. I'm gonna say that I fucking hate this franchise. Now, I've had some time since we watched it. I've cooled down a little bit. I've seen tons of awful movies.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. And so I don't feel as angry about Leprechaun in the Hood, but I still recognize it's one of the worst things I've watched.
Yeah.
And so that's got me set up. Now, I will say, previous movies, they set up my expectations a certain way. Mm. These movies are goofy. You have a small person running around making puns about
Warwick Davis.
Leprechauns. He's a G. Yeah. Manton immediately said, why isn't he in this movie? I'm like, oh, they couldn't afford him after he did the Harry Potter movies.
It might be, actually.
Oh, I believe it. So, anyway, let's get to Leprechaun Origins. As the name implies, we might be talking about Leprechaun history, or I guess where they originated. But anyway, we've got a small group of young, beautiful 20-somethings, and they're going to Ireland, I guess, yep. Right? They're going to Ireland, and they're going to do some sightseeing. One of them... she is going to get her, I think she's trying to get her master's degree.
She's a historian of some sort.
So she deals with history, and so she cares about history and
it comes
things.
Up in one scene, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Hey, that's as much development as we're going to get, buddy, so don't dog it. But anyway, they're traveling, and they happen upon a small bar in this little town as they're hiking. And they've been told that there's some nearby things they need to check out. I guess some
Stones of the Gods.
Yeah.
Well, before that, they're going to like a museum or something.
Oh, right, sure.
And this guy sees them in the bar. He's like, oh, boy, are you from out of town there, kids? And they're like, well, yeah, actually, we're trying to find this museum. He's like, oh, perfect. I got something even better. You've never even heard of it. And it's like, he's like, it's called the Rocks of the Gods. It's the greatest thing in Ireland. You're going to love it. But it's only 20 miles north in the darkness. And me and my son, we're going to take you. And you're just going to love it.
He says it's a 7-hour hike. I mean, that is... fucking batshit crazy.
Exactly. So
you know, isn't it like, didn't the girl try to translate it and she thinks it's Rocks of the Dads?
She says Rocks of the Fathers. Yeah.
Fathers.
Oh,
rocks off your dad. Rocks off your dad.
It's just dad rock.
Anyway,
Jesus.
So, well, I'm sure lots of dads got their rocks off watching this movie. But anyway,
what does that mean? Wait, no, Bleacher. Bleacher, stop.
So,
Bleacher, I'm gonna stop you there. What does that mean,
buddy? You're supposed to just let it ride.
No, explain yourself.
There's no explanation.
Okay.
Anyway, so they reluctantly agree. She gives the final vote, and they all go to you know, they're going to follow this guy and his son to go up to see this great historical monument, blah, blah, blah. So they take them on this long ride. They get to this cabin. They're like, hey, go in there and, you know, hang out. We'll be back later, and we'll come get you, and we'll go up to the rocks, whatever. They quickly find out that they're locked in this cabin. Oh, no, I can't believe it. And we realize that these guys... probably have some intentions other than what they are speaking.
Like, gee, you fucking think?
They're going to try and lure something in and you know, attack these kids. And so basically they're trying to survive a la... They even say it, cabin in the woods. So one thing I want to start off with huge tone difference in this movie.
Oh my God, yes.
I hated the previous Leprechaun movies. Do we think that going with a more serious tone was a good choice?
Well, before we get to that, we have to explain the tone a little bit.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
All right. Like, one of the big draws, I guess, to the Leprechaun franchise, and I will admit, like, my favorite part of the Leprechaun franchise is that Warwick Davis is, like, the Leprechaun. Like, mm-hmm. I don't like those movies, but at least, like, he's giving it 100%.
Well,
and
you
he's,
can
like,
understand
he's in kind
why.
Of enjoyable, like, yeah. in a little bit of a way.
It's
I
basically
guess.
One of the identifying characters of the franchise. You have, like, this little, you know, this guy, and he's making weird, shitty puns, and he's talking in a funny
Talk
accent.
Shit to people.
And
like,
it's goofy, whatever.
Yeah. And so, you know, thinking this is Leprechaun Origins, like, maybe we'd see the origin of that Leprechaun. We are seeing the origin of an entirely different type of leprechaun.
This is like a Smeagol.
We don't even see the origin. I don't understand why it's called Origins, but anyway.
It's an easy...
We can talk about that
easy
later.
Hyphenated
but
name
but immediately you find out that this movie is very serious. Like, there's lots of, like... the movie looks way higher production than previously.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks very dark
and
gritty.
Which I think at first, like... And Devin, correct me if I'm wrong here. Like, that's why we were all, like, texting as we were watching this one. And everybody was like, oh, wow, okay. This is...
They're
like,
trying.
Yeah. They're trying. This has money on it. Like, I don't hate this.
It's somewhat jarring, all right, I'm going to interject here and say why I wasn't actually very jarred by the change in I don't know, what am I looking for? What's the word I'm looking for? The change in fucking style and tone. Yeah, the tonal shift. And it's because I think that I thought this was going to be a fucking Thanksgiving style shitty comedy that was going to be, you know, the fucking eighth installment of a shitty movie that right. a franchise that should have never existed in the first place. Because the first movie itself, I don't even think the first movie knew what its fucking tone was.
Definitely.
It was already
not, no.
shitty. So to me, I just immediately kind of disinterested it from. I even cringe to say from the franchise. What the fuck is this movie? What is this franchise? It's a joke.
It's definitely not a part of this franchise, though. Like, this tonal shift is so drastic that, like, this could have been, and I think might have been at one point, any other
well,
type
of
movie.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It was like a spec script that they just shot out there, and they're like,
I don't care about the Leprechaun franchise to begin with, so I don't care about this. So anyway, what I was getting to was that, I might be deprived from horror here. I'm used to watching 3 or 4 a week back home, and maybe I've watched 3 or 4 total since being here, but it was kind of a fucking nice change to see a legit horror movie that whether it's very Michael Bay-esque, it's got mm-hmm. like the big fucking like orchestral, very fucking like cookie cutter music and style and setup. It's very vanilla. But to me, I was like, you know what? I didn't want to watch a shitty, horrible comedy. I'm okay with watching a very maybe boringly fine horror movie. So for me, it didn't bother me. But I'm sure you guys.
I'll go ahead. I'll say, Devin, like, I'm with you for, like, the first maybe 15 minutes of this movie. Like, that was enough to carry me through that where I was like, oh, this is way better than I thought it was going to be. Like, this is not the kind of Leprechaun I'm used to. And for a while, that got me through thinking, like, oh, this might end up as better. And then it just doesn't, though. And that's the problem, is that the movie can't maintain that goodwill. It can't, you know, for an hour and 30 minutes, however long this thing is, like, it can't make me think, oh, well, at least it's better than the first one. That's not enough, because where this one goes is just ultimately... Like Devin said, it's fine, but it never, ever goes higher than
that. Well, the key is that he mentions vanilla, and too much vanilla can make you sick.
I suppose so. You know what? I was wrong. They do give you the origin of the leprechaun. We see in the first scene that he's actually a velociraptor. Even with the heat vision and everything.
Yeah, okay, so the monster that they've made here, and this is one of the reasons why I think this is probably not originally a leprechaun movie, other than the Irish setting, there's nothing to distinguish it. It's just basically
it likes
like
gold and has gold vision.
It likes gold and has gold vision, but essentially it's like one of the cave monsters from The Descent or Gollum or something like that.
I'm okay
and
with
like
that.
It's, but we have to say that I think that it's a wonderful performance by our boy Hornswoggle.
Okay, so Hornswoggle, he's in the WWE.
Man was so upset about this.
Well, this is maybe my biggest problem with the movie, which is that like. When you have a wrestler in a movie, and oftentimes a lot of these WWE films, the one thing you can say is like, you know, these wrestlers do their performances like they're larger than life. Like that's
Santa
the whole
Slay,
point.
Rube Goldberg, Jesus Christ, Goldberg.
Goldberg machine.
WWE's
Rube Goldberg machine of a movie.
So good.
God, fuck. But even as awful as that movie is, and as much as I don't like the humor in that movie, like, you do get his personality out of
it.
Yeah,
he's giving it 100%.
This is why we like The Rock. This is why we like, you know, all these other people. And the Hornswoggle, they've got him in the movie. And it might as well, for one thing, it might as well not be a little person, because you don't see, you almost
it's
never.
It's not really a little thing. It's
you,
lanky
you never
and
see
weird.
It next to a person.
Well,
yeah.
When you, there's like brief, super brief moments where you see it next to them for like a split second and you kind of get that it's smaller. And, but the problem is like, he's covered in so much prosthetics. He doesn't say a single word the entire movie.
Just growls.
So if you're like the person that
just
likes,
growls.
Well,
if you're, I
didn't know
these movies.
I didn't know there was supposed to be a fucking wrestler in it.
Well, that's the thing, though, is like I'm guessing advertised as having Hornswoggle in it. And so if
it
you
was.
Go there, if your mom or dad Hornswoggle and you're going to see your son's big premiere, you're going to be there and like, oh, honey, good job, I guess. Like, you didn't get to do anything.
I want
to
point out I had no expectation. But my point here is that like the reason people like these movies, the reason they like the other ones is because they like the Leprechaun. They like the goofiness
exactly.
of that. Like, I get that they want to do a more serious thing, but he doesn't say a word. So why have this wrestler in it?
You do
but
say
somebody
else.
He does not.
I want to put it that you're saying the reason people like this movie, the reason that they like this movie, that's the reason I don't like the other Leprechaun films, because I fucking, I think he's shit. I think fucking Warwick Davis is shitty in that movie. I think he's not funny. I think the writing sucks. The first one's boring as fuck. I couldn't remember. If you asked me to name one thing about the first movie, the only thing I remember is
what
that
about
Jennifer
Fuck You, Lucky Charms?
Oh, I don't. We want to get to that later.
Yeah. I know Jennifer Aniston's in the first one. Leprechaun in the Hood, I remember more about because it was so fucking bizarre and weird and stupid.
Yeah,
but
I would even say that more people like that movie and like the later movies than they like the first.
You could take Warwick Davis and send him to the Hood. You could never take this thing and go Leprechaun Origins in
actually,
the Hood.
I might kind of like that.
That sounds kind of cool.
Realistic edition. We're going to go to Detroit.
but no, like, again, I just want to point out that like this movie, like, I want to make sure that people know, like, if you haven't seen it and you're a fan of the older movies, like, it's
you're gonna
nothing,
hate this.
Nothing,
yeah,
nothing,
if you're,
nothing to do with it.
If you're a fan of
it.
Anything that the other Leprechaun did, it's
right.
not this.
This
like,
is the
it's totally
different.
Whether or not this is good, like, this is completely different.
I don't know. I actually was pretty on board for, like, the serious tone because I was with Devin. I hated
exactly.
the way they previously
yeah,
did it. But then as I watched the movie second by second, I was realizing, you know what? Like, those movies were shit. But I at
but
least remember
you
them.
You remembered some. That's it.
This movie has all of the edges sanded down so much that I just watched it last night and I'm having
a
hard time.
Brandon, I really want you to talk about. You mentioned this many many times when we watched it, but the movie is so cyclical. Like they're in the house,
oh,
they're out
God,
of the house, they're in the house,
fucking running around the house.
nothing happens is another issue. Is it like this movie is boring as fuck? It's so boring.
Well, one of the problems is, and I'll say that for most slashers, I think you need to have a potential body count of at least five or more. This has like four good looking teens who they lock in, and eventually they do add some other people who could be killed to this. But like that's boring as shit. When I'm like, okay, it's 20 minutes into the movie and nobody's been killed. When the fuck is this going
to
happen? And then
actually,
once it does, like how
at
quickly?
At the very beginning, Dylan. Also,
yeah,
I wouldn't call this a slasher. I think it's very much a creature feature as well. I mean, I don't know.
Well, it's a slasher without knives.
Maybe I need more.
I didn't find it very boring, to be honest. I watched it with headphones in, so I was forced to watch the whole thing. Also,
I
need to call Booster out for even making a point that like at least the other ones were memorable. If you want to go back to the episode and listen when we talked about Leprechaun in the Hood, Booster, I'm pretty sure says that he had like a fucking literal hangover from watching it and was physically ill from
it. Terrible.
There's no way you can even stack that up against this one in a positive way. You fucking couldn't stand Leprechaun in the Hood. So how can you? I mean, sure, yeah, you remembered how shitty it was and how it made you sick. Is that a good thing?
That's all I'm saying is that I remember it. We talk in this cast a lot, and whenever I watch other movies, I'm thinking about this. But like, am I going to remember this? Like, I will never forget Leprechaun in the Hood. That
movie's
bad.
Does that make it better than this one?
No.
I didn't say that.
Well,
I'm
like,
just saying that.
It's like something like Student Bodies, which is one of the worst things we've watched for this movie, and we keep bringing it up because of that. It does something to distinguish itself. This movie does literally nothing to distinguish itself. In fact, like, we were watching this and everybody was saying, oh, this is kind of like the Friday the 13th remake. But I actually remember parts of the Friday the 13th remake because they have ridiculous kills. And like, yeah, it's just a better put together movie.
You keep saying at least we remember something about it. What you remember about it is how shitty it is. That's a bad thing. That's a bad thing.
Right.
To me, that's a positive. The fact that your movie is remembered is a
remembered
thing.
For being shitty. Shitty is shitty.
What we're looking at is the extremes versus the middle here, and this movie is just dead up middle, lower middle. Like there isn't anything to distinguish it. There's like, I mean, and eventually, like I was giving it really good grace, like throughout the first portion of it. Like I really like the Irish setting. I think actually the guys who
it's
play
beautiful.
The villains are really particularly good actors compared to everything else that's going on. Like they're doing a good job. But then they bring in the leprechaun or whatever, and like slowly, minute by minute, and I could just feel myself giving up on this movie, like just kind of letting it go. Like, oh, well, you did try, but I don't know.
One thing, we keep saying this movie is more serious, and that's true, but like if a movie takes itself seriously, a lot of times they're going to work harder to make the characters better, or right. they're going to work harder to do something. And like I was
cool kills something.
I was just so disappointed because these characters that I have to watch this whole movie are as vanilla as any other Leprechaun movie. Like the characters have a name probably, but and they have no features.
But then they don't have the Leprechaun to offset it.
Right, and
they've
so
got
like
a vanilla Leprechaun too.
You're like, okay, I'm taking this movie seriously. Give me something serious to look at. And they're just like running around this cabin for an hour, and I'm just like, come on, do something.
That's fine. Speaking of fine, I'm gonna give my review right now because
hang on.
I want to go. Let me get out of here. What do you want?
What, are you leaving us for good?
I'm not leaving you for good. Keep going. What are you saying?
Well, I'm just saying, like, one of the other things that we have to bring up is the monster itself and how they shoot this thing.
Yes, thank you.
Like, man, I know you're going to say something about that.
Yeah, I was. Okay, yeah, you want to go ahead and say it.
Blur vision.
No, yeah, it's so frustrating because you don't, not only do you, in the first, like, moments that you see this thing, I was like, or flashes of it, I was like, we're never going to fucking see it. I immediately knew, I was like, we're not going to see this monster. And you pretty much don't. Like, anytime they show the monster, it's blurred in some way. It's out of focus, or they're doing some weird digital blur, or it just constantly.
It's not just blurred in some way, it's blurred in multiple ways every time. Either it's shaky cam, it's Leprechaun Goldo vision, it's like blurring in and out, it's like width pans or zooming in closely, and they're doing all of them at the same time. And I'm okay with one of them. Yeah, this thing doesn't look bad. Like, if you don't have faith in your monster, like, there are cool and clever ways to get around showing
it. Yeah.
And a good movie will do one or two of those. This one does all of them all at once, all the time, always. And it's,
well, he was you couldn't make him out, right? So it worked.
Well, I don't know what the fuck happened in this movie. So how could I say I like it if I don't know what's going on at all?
All right, time to review.
Yeah, I guess what I was getting at is that sometimes I don't understand your all's algorithm for fucking movies, because to me, fine is fine and shitty is shitty. And I feel like to you guys, sometimes fine is shitty and shitty is fine. In this case, this is make no mistake, this is it's okay. It's just fine. And make no mistake, that makes it automatically better than Leprechaun in the Hood, because Leprechaun in the Hood was legit garbage shit, awful, and there's no excuse in even comparing making any positive statement over this one, because that one was just absolute. I mean, it was hard to recover from watching it. The first one I don't want to get into. It's not my brand of humor. Those ones operate too much on their comedy, and to me, the comedy's not funny. The humor's not funny. So those two just are shit. That's why I was okay watching one that took itself a little more seriously. And there were points where I saw the creature pretty clearly, actually, and it was few and far between. I do agree with you guys. And I think we agree in the most part that this movie's okay and fine. But again, to me, fine means fine. And for that, I'm going to give it a stinker, but it's not. Again, it's fine, but it doesn't offend me for being only fine. And I think it is the best Leprechaun movie we've seen so far, because the Leprechaun franchise fucking sucks ass, and I don't know why they've made so many. It's fucking bad. But I wasn't offended by it. But Bluester, what do you think?
So just off the bat, I think that we can all agree that being unforgettable and being boring is a definition of bad, no matter how vanilla
you
are. Like, right. And I'm not trying to posit that any of the previous movies are good.
Right,
I will say
exactly,
that objectively,
exactly,
this movie is probably better than those by like landslides. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to enjoy this movie just because it has better cameras and better acting. You know, like it doesn't make me enjoy it. And so this entire movie was just filling me with disappointment. Like I appreciated that they were taking a different direction. I was ready. I had my fucking surround sound pumped up. I had this movie watching it full force. It was at night. Didn't have my phone on me, and like I was taking it seriously. But I feel like the movie wasn't earning anything to make me keep watching it. These characters have nothing going for them. There's like rarely any tension, because there's these two guys that are holding them in this house. They're holding them up with guns, and they establish that they're never going to shoot anybody with these guns. And so I never felt afraid for the characters. And they start bringing in the leprechaun. I'm like, all right, it's called Leprechaun Origins. Let's look at some history of some leprechauns. There's a single scene.
One scene.
Where she reads a perfectly printed book that's apparently like 1,000 years old. She's like, leprechaun's like gold. He's going to get us. And like that's the extent of the origin they give me. And so I expected more. Like, if you're going to change up the whole formula of the movie, cool, but give me something. And so this movie is just blatantly okay. And it really bummed me out watching it, because I would have rather watched, I don't know, something like Things or something that's just horrible, but at least there's something to grab onto. So this one's a light stinker. It's definitely not the worst Leprechaun movie.
What do you say, Dylan?
I mean, I don't think it gets off for being the best Leprechaun movie. Like, that's comparing...
Leprechaun 1's okay.
Leprechaun 1 is fine, and like, ultimately, through watching this one, I kind of would have rather been watching the first one, because at least, like, it's got kind of something.
It's
doing something interesting or different. And like, this one is just really bland. It's not really a bad movie. It's not a good one, but it's just so vanilla and bland that, like, you could take everything Leprechaun out of this and it would not stand on its own legs, though. If you take this away from the Leprechaun franchise, it's disappointing as an entry in the Leprechaun franchise for people who are fans of that. It's disappointing as a non-Leprechaun movie because it's just not that good. And then it's just disappointing in general because it tries to do both of those things and really just feels like a rushed spec script that had, like, a WWE dude in a prosthetic suit added to it. And so I can't really recommend it. You can do better things with your time. It's a stinker.
Yeah, what do you say, Manton?
I would say that if you're into the Leprechaun series, like, this is going to be a disappointment to you because, you know, you may have heard about this movie, heard there's Hornswoggle, and expected anything to come out of that at all. It doesn't. There's nothing that comes out of it. I think they've used the word fine, vanilla, okay a lot. I'm going to use a different word. I'm going to say the word boring.
Yeah.
This movie is boring as balls. I gave it 100%. Like, I just, like Brandon, like, I sat down, I was taking notes. I was like, I'm really going to give this movie a fair shot. Like, it is very, very different immediately. But I have to be honest, like, for me, I would rather we have watched, like, Leprechaun in Space or something. Like, at least when I watch movies like that, I'm amused. And maybe, you know, afterwards I'll be like, wow, that was terrible. But while I'm watching it, I'm amused. I'm amused at, like, what's going on screen, that they've actually created something like this. And the biggest problem with this movie is that it's fucking boring.
Yeah.
I would never rewatch this movie, but under the right circumstances, I would rewatch something like Leprechaun in the Hood.
Jesus.
But I would never, ever, ever rewatch this.
Sacrilege.
So,
no, I agree.
It's not. I mean, for me, I guess what it is like, if I was in the right setting, if I was with a bunch of people, whatever, if we were all going to
just,
like,
jump on
this
Leprechaun
movie,
in the Hood.
Before I would rewatch this, 100%.
I'm with him.
I would just be fucking bored to tears, and I would not be paying attention.
I'd still hate it, yeah.
To this movie, I mean. But anyways, that's just kind of my point there. This movie is boring as balls. If you want to watch, like, a sort of Michael Bay-ish Friday the 13th, Texas Chainsaw, just go watch those. You'll have a better time than watching this. This movie is honestly my least favorite Leprechaun movie, I would say. It's a stinker.
That's crazy. I mean, they're all shitty, but whatever. That's going to bring us to our last movie of the night, and it's going to be What We Do in the Shadows. And if someone wants to talk, I guess the last person is Manton, to give us an idea of what that movie is and who recommended it.
So I want to start off by saying that I fucked up big time. We were not supposed to watch this movie yet. It was supposed to be, Matt had us watch, our good friend Matt, we've probably talked about it a few times, he was going to have us watch Lord of Tears.
Oh, God.
And that was supposed to be the movie we were going to watch, but I fucked up and I was looking at the setup wrong. So What We Do in the Shadows, Josh Pleatherface Myers. Josh, nice. You bastard, you got yours early, so Merry Christmas, happy birthday, whatever.
It's the biggest haul of the year now.
So I'm glad that we got this out of the way, though, because there's a lot to talk about here. What We Do in the Shadows, I think, was like maybe sometime like 2012, 2013,
2014. Yeah.
Okay. Basically, this is a movie that is sort of like a faux documentary, a mockumentary. It's I think presented as being maybe like a German film. They're basically following a family or I guess like roommates that are vampires. They just happen to be vampires, and we have four different vampires. We have sort of a really old one, like a Nosferatu one.
Mm-hmm.
We've got
Peter.
We run the gamut of different vampires. And really what this movie is just kind of a day in the life of like vampires. What would happen if four vampires lived together? And when there is kind of an overarching story, we eventually meet someone that is meant to be a victim, gets turned into a new vampire. So they have a new roommate, and a very, very young vampire that's brought in, and they're kind of just trying to get by. And it is sort of like a horror comedy, but that's pretty much the gist of the movie.
It's a mockumentary, right?
Yeah. It's very much so a comedy first and foremost, too. This is by the guys who were part of Flight of the Conchords and did things like Short Poppies, which is highly recommended if you haven't seen it on Netflix. It's really good. So, I mean, this is just like funny dudes trying to make a funny movie. It just happens to be about vampires.
Right. And we do get quite a few like horror elements to it. There's a lot of great scenes of like gore, and it's super, super over the top.
Yeah, there's actually like lots of crazy violence, and they even have like some kind of like you know, tables reversed attacks on people, or like weird kind of like horror-ish like little skits. Mm-hmm. It definitely is like in the vein. Plus it looks,
I see what you did there.
Oh. And it also I want to say this movie looks really cool. It has a very dark and drab and dreary kind of like aesthetic. It looks very beautiful. Yeah. I don't know, it was pretty cool.
Part of that's the flat that they have, which is a really great set that is just like dilapidated and running down, and like they make jokes about the fact that like Deacon, one of the vampires, hasn't done the dishes in 5 years, and they're just covered with blood and in the sink and everything. Like, it looks like it's a shitty flat, but like it makes sense that like vampires who are this mundane would this old would just kind of have fuck it, it's a flat New Zealand.
Right, that's the point I wanted to make, and that was the exact word I was going to use. This movie kind of has, in a weird way, an ironic title. It's What We Do in the Shadows, and I think you're supposed to be assumed like, oh man, vampires, what do they do in the shadows? But the whole point is this is all about the mundane. Like, these are fucking dudes who are, you know, 700 years old. So, you know, after a point, they just do normal fucking shit. Like, they do dishes. Right. They have vacuuming. Roommate issues. Yeah, they vacuum. They go out and try to meet people. So that's a really funny and cool idea. It's great. That it was a little bit of my issue with this movie, because it's so mundane that like really there's no conflict. Like, nothing really happens.
I'm with you, Devin.
That's true.
100%. Nothing happens. But it's so clever and so funny, and the acting is so convincing. I mean, it's these Kiwis from Flight of the Conchords. They're brilliant. That it is laugh out loud funny, and it's, you know, what's the noun form of mundane? Somebody hit me with it.
Mundanity?
Is that a thing? All right, yeah.
I think so.
But yeah, it's laugh out loud funny in its mundanity. Please be your word.
I hope so.
but yeah, Bluester,
dictionary.
Bluester, you were going to agree with me there. What were your thoughts on how, like, really nothing does happen?
Well, like, and I feel bad, like, already getting this in there, because everybody seems to be loving this movie, but, like, Devin said it was laugh out loud and there's lots of stuff happening, but, like, I didn't feel that. I don't think I laughed at this movie maybe, like, once or twice. And I was looking around our room, and it was really quiet when we were watching it.
It's a different variety of comedy. It is less laugh out loud, and because what it's focusing on is the mundane. Yeah, it's not going to be like big body, like, you know, huge things happening. And that is in some places kind of a fault of the movie, that there isn't really an overarching conflict or anything, and so it is the moment to moment stuff. And so if one of those moments doesn't land, well, wait for the next moment, I guess.
And I think that they were really, like you said, Dylan, they're riding on, you know, the dry humor of these guys and the way they were kind of going about it, which is fine. I mean, it's very, like we mentioned earlier, Ghostbusters-esque, like very dry, very like in the scene, kind of hilarious. But as I was watching this movie, I couldn't help but feel like I just wanted something to be driving it. Even in a real documentary, there's always an overarching thing that's supposed to happen, or some kind of like arc. That, this whole movie, I didn't really know what to follow.
That aside, though, like, they do a really good job of bringing back everything they've mentioned. Like, it's a circuitous story, but it's not an actual, like, kind of narrative plot. And I mean, I think about things like they mentioned the Beast, like Vladislav's girlfriend, Vladislav's arrival, who comes back right. in the movie. They meet up with the werewolves, not swearwolves, which is one of my favorite parts of the flick, and they do come back as well.
Yeah,
which the sequel's supposed to be about them too, and I can't wait.
Oh, I didn't know there was a sequel. Yeah.
Werewolves is what it's called, which is a really good title.
That's cute. There's even a couple like sweet moments at the end. I really liked some of the ways they wrap up some character threads there. This movie has a lot of great, like, really, really great little moments and like very quotable things. Like, one of my favorite moments is early on when they start arguing and they both like fly into the air and start hissing at each other. And they do a lot of like, they play up a lot of like the vampire tropes, like when they're they see the werewolves and they like put their arms over their mouths and like and do all this dumb shit, and it is really funny. But I do kind of agree with Brandon. Like, I don't think this is laugh out loud funny.
I wish it was.
To me, in my opinion, it's not a detriment. I prefer.
I actually don't mind at all either.
I really, really like this movie's brand of humor. While I didn't laugh out loud, I found it very, very amusing and very funny, and sort of like a a more subtle way, not like boisterous laughing kind of way.
No, I feel you. You don't have to laugh at a comedy to recognize that it's funny, but I just, a lot of the stuff is missing for me. But to the like a good point that I want to mention is that I thought this movie was really shining when they were really joking about the aspects of being like a vampire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I think about like Rise of Leslie Vernon, and the best parts are when he's doing the horror, you know, villain thing
in ways that you,
right. Yeah, and you see from the other aspect, and like these guys, they're doing like sock puppets and stuff in the mirror because they don't have any shadows, and they're joking about their outfits. They dress like they're from the colonial times and
the
like
fucking clothing, like scenes with them doing clothing, and then they can't see themselves in the mirror, so they have each other draw pictures of what they look like.
That was really good.
I loved the conflicts between our new vampire and one of the older ones. He's like, his outfit, he's just copying me. He looks exactly like me. They're like going out for the night, and I fucking love that stuff. And I think that like, When you kind of look back on the movie, it's really easy to remember those sorts of things. I think the movie does have moments that it drags. It has, like Brandon kind of mentioned this, but this movie does best at those moments, and those are in the first half of the movie. The second half of the movie,
second half is a bit
to
dragging.
Me, it's like, I would rather just see a whole bunch of nothing, because when they do kind of start to go to the plot side of things,
I
start to kind of lose it a bit.
Well,
part of that,
I think, is the strength of the characters, because like each person is given a great performance in this one, and the characters are so fucking funny and just their manner of existing. It doesn't have to be necessarily something that they're saying. You get like Peter the vampire downstairs, who's like a fucking Nosferatu who like eats chickens and leaves bones on the floor and shit. Like, he has no lines in the movie, but like he's hysterical like every time he's on screen.
Yeah.
One of my favorite characters. Sorry, go ahead, Dylan.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say in like Stu too.
Yes. That's my point. Perfect. One of my favorite characters is again, it's like textbook mundane dude. He's like a software designer. He explains his job like four times, and his job is just typical job. And he's the most boring, typical dude. And I love it because all these guys fucking love Stu. Like there's a point where they're just like literally walking down going, Stu, 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 Stu.
No, that was really tight. Was
like a moment where they're like in a vampire tribunal or whatever. And they're like, you brought humans into this house. And he's like, but Stu's okay. You're cool.
Stu's
like,
fine. Yeah.
And then
he
walks over and gives him like a pen when he's like out of ink. And like everything he does is so subtle. It's like this really dry Kiwi.
He's just a
humor,
bro, man.
But the Stu thing had me literally laughing out loud.
I love Stu.
It was
God.
So funny.
Yes. For me, Stu was like one of the highlights, not because like he's an awesome guy, but just like the interactions he had with everybody. And as you can expect, these vampires are hanging out with other weird ghoulies. There's like there's zombies in the movie. There's werewolves later on. And like, they're constantly trying to defend Stu. Like, no, man, Stu's cool. You don't want to eat him. And everyone's like, but he's a delicious human. And I'm like,
they make jokes about how flush red he is all the time. They're
well,
like,
someone,
what?
Yeah, one of the other vampires shakes his hand and like, oh, Stu, you're so warm. And I'm just like, he just looks so uncomfortable.
One of my absolute favorite scenes in the movie is when they bring in some human victims getting ready to eat them.
I fucking love it.
And the human, they go to this really cool, like, behind the person sort of documentary cam, and they're running around, and it's like this, like, terrifying house, and like every corner he turns, they're just like flying around. They're like literally flying
just
down the hallways and like hissing and like giggling and stuff, and I'm like, this is so fucking funny.
But I
guess, should we go to review now?
Yeah, there's really not a lot like overall plot and everything to talk about with this one. Like, it is mostly just moment to moment.
So what do you think about it, Dylan?
I really, really love this movie. I think that it is I think I'm really starting to enjoy every kind of Kiwi thing that I've seen, be it horror or be it comedy. There's a certain kind of dryness, a certain kind of, I don't know, weird, irreverent sort of style that they do that I just really identify with. And this one is really good. I agree that it does drag in places, and it doesn't have a whole lot of like a hook as far as plot goes to drag you along. But the concepts in it are so interesting. The moment-to-moment comedy is, I think, hysterical, even if you don't laugh out loud at it, that it's definitely worth a watch, if only to see the scene where they try to feed Buschetti to their guests. God. Like, I fucking love it. It's definitely a gem for me. Highly recommended.
Yeah, it's again, it's a very dry sense of humor, very subtle. So it's not like physical comedy, slapsticky. It's quite the opposite.
Right,
but it's done so pristinely that it had me, the reason I keep saying and emphasizing laugh out loud, I was wearing headphones on a plane next to strangers cracking up just from some of the most ridiculous subtle things. Stu is the funniest fucking dude ever.
I fucking love Stu.
For how like subtle he is, he's so funny. He's just a dude, and that's it. Anyway, it's a really funny movie. And again, though, it is so mundane sometimes that it is to its detriment, to where it's like, all right, something needs to happen. And then when they do try to make something happen, I kind of agree with you guys. I was like, well, I kind of missed the mundane parts again. But it is, it's really, really, really just impressively well written and impressively acted. Yeah. It's so convincing, and it's the most convincing mockumentary I've ever seen, despite that it's about fucking vampires, right? I mean,
yeah, you might be right. Yeah, there.
It's like it's got this magical realism aspect to it, to where I'm just convinced this is a real documentary because it's just really convincing, and that's really impressive. So it's a strong gem from me. Again, it's not, it's kind of like The Burbs, where it's not a pure horror, but it's a great send up to the genre, and it's a gem from me. What do you say, Manton?
Yeah, I wanted to point out that you mentioned that the writing was really good, and I think this might be why the movie feels so natural. I'm pretty sure that a huge amount of this movie was improvised.
Oh, for sure.
Wow, that's awesome.
So a lot of the stuff that ended up in the final cut of the movie was just improv, and I think that is to the credit of these people in this movie. Like, they're fucking hilarious. Like, they're really, really good at what they do. They put us to fucking shame. but yeah, no, this
oh,
movie,
anybody can do that.
Well, yeah, that's true. No, this movie is really, really fun and funny, and I like it more the more that I talk about it. I definitely would recommend this to anybody that is a horror fan or non-horror fans alike.
For sure.
It's a strong gem for me.
All right, what do you say, Blues, to wrap it up?
So I guess I'm coming to this realization that I don't think I like New Zealand humor as much, and it's weird because you all talk about it, you're like, it's dry, it's played straight, it's very subtle, and like, those are things that I think I like, and I even think that some of the shit I say is kind of like that, so I guess maybe I just don't like
oh,
myself.
Oh, you mean all those fart and dick jokes?
Yeah, I was just saying,
absolutely.
Wow, yeah. Blooster started to think he has like a subtle, dry sense of humor, huh?
Maybe not. But anyway, I want to say off the bat that I'm probably going to recommend this movie, but I'm going to give it a stinker. I feel like I need to rewatch this one. Maybe I wasn't in the right mindset or in the right mood, and I wasn't ready for it. But I just kept watching it, and I wasn't laughing, and I felt like, you know, the whole point of the movie is to just follow these guys around, and it was working, but it wasn't keeping me engaged. And I felt like at any point I could have just stopped, you know, stood up and walked away. And I honestly was pretty ready for it to end because I just wanted to go do something else, unfortunately. But
man, Bluester, giving
it
a stinker. I guess
as we sit here and talk about it, though, It brings back good memories. I don't know. I have a weird relationship with this one. So I think down the road, I'll rewatch it. Maybe I can re-review it. But right now, it's a stinker for me.
Bluester's sense of humor is getting a little threatened during this movie. I think that's
he might be getting Babadook, too.
Yeah, maybe, actually.
Sorry, you cut out for me a little bit. I didn't mean to interrupt you there. But that's
fine,
three gems in a stinker. And that's a perfect segue because I'm again here with 90% Europeans, a lot of Kiwis, you know, people from New Zealand. And that was funny for me because like the accents were so familiar because I'd already been at camp for 4 weeks. And
I love Kiwi accents.
Oh yeah.
Jesus.
And the sense of humors were very similar. The dry humor. So I get that all the time here at camp. Like there are some legitimately hysterical people I work with that just have this very, very like straight faced, dry sense of humor. And I love it. And that's going to go into our game before we get out of here, where we get some very real, realistic Britishisms and maybe some Australia and New Zealand as well, because these are ones that I've heard firsthand and have marked in my notes over the weeks because I thought they were great.
Oh, God.
So you've just been whipping out a notebook every time somebody says something.
Oh, yeah.
Something.
Let me write that down. Can you say that again?
I mean, I have a notebook on me at all times anyway, so why the fuck not? So we're going to start off easy here, one that you might have heard, but if I were to say give over to one of you, maybe as a response to something, if I were to respond to one of you and say give over, what do you think that would mean? I'll start off with you, Manton.
I think that means kind of like fuck off.
All right. What do you say, Dylan?
I'm going to go with Manton because I've never heard this one.
All right, cool. What do you say, Blutster?
I'm going to say move over on the couch, buddy. That's my spot.
That's very specific.
That is.
Absolutely.
you guys are... Sorry.
No, Manton and Dylan, you guys are pretty good. It pretty much means like bullshit, kind of.
I'll give over.
So yeah, like, oh, give over. That's bullshit kind of thing. So that,
I like that.
We're starting off a little easy. The other one is, the next one's a little bit easy maybe, but what do you think bugger all is? B-U-G-G-E-R all. Bugger all.
Oh yeah, that one's
if
easy.
I were to say bugger all, what does that mean, Dylan?
Oh, fuck all. Or like a, it's kind of an exclamation, like, oh, bugger all.
What do you say? Okay, what do you say, Manton?
Yeah, it's like I know what this one is, and I've heard it many, many times. It's very hard to describe what that would mean in an American sort of way. I think it means like fuck this, basically.
Okay, what do you say, Blutster?
I think the perfect Americanism for that is God damn it.
You just
dropped the milk, you spilled it, you're like, God damn it, I was going to have cereal, now I can't.
You know what? You guys aren't actually exactly right. Bugger all means basically nothing. It means like not shit. So if it'd be like me saying, you know, hey, Dylan, what are you doing today? And you have nothing to say, I'm doing bugger all.
Like jack shit, basically.
Yeah, not really? Yeah, not a damn thing. Like,
yeah, that's right, yeah.
So that's bugger all, guys. Now we're going to get a little bit weirder. The next one is chuffed to bits.
Chuffed
to bits? I know this
what does it mean
one.
To be chuffed to bits? I'll start off with Bluester. If you actually know it, I want to start off with someone else.
All right.
Chuffed to bits? Maybe you're like tired or something after a long day. Oh, I'm chuffed to bits.
What do you say, Dylan?
Really kind of like glad. Like, oh, I'm chuffed to bits about that. Like, I'm really excited about that.
Gotcha. What do you say, Manton?
It's the polar opposite. You're fucking pissed. You're chuffed off.
Dylan's right. It's when you're on a high.
What?
Yeah.
I'm
chuffed to bits.
Yeah, chuffed to bits. You could also say buzzing off your tits.
Say fuzzing off your
buzzing,
tits?
Buzzing off your tits.
Buzzing off your tits.
So, just the tits. Like, actually, that's what really my coworkers will legitimately say. Like, I'm buzzing off my tits right now. Like, that means you're...
That's so fucking weird.
Yeah. This one
that's
is...
That's ridiculous.
This one could be easy. What does it mean to be... Maybe we've even done this one. Maybe what's it mean to be gobsmacked?
Oh, yeah. You've done this one, I think, every time we've done this.
I don't remember
it. We went on it once, right? But anyway, what is it?
Gobsmacked is when you mistype Godsmack when you're talking about
Dude,
your favorite band.
Dude, I was
going
to make the same joke, you son of a bitch.
Well, Dylan, what is it then?
Yeah, I just said it.
What do you say, Dylan? Yeah, sorry, Manta, Jesus.
I was going to make a similar goof. It is Gobsmack is the band that did the song for The Scorpion King, I Stand Alone.
Very nice. Very nice. Luchster, do you want a real guess?
Oh, I'm going to make the same guess. It's when you mistype Godsmack.
All right. Well, the actual definition is when you... Oh, it's when you mistype Godsmack. Interesting.
Yeah, all right.
No, it means flabbergasted. But next one, we got a couple more. What does it mean to be taking... If you take the Mickey out of someone? So, are you taking the Mickey out of me, or you're
taking the piss out of somebody? You're right? Like,
you're joking with him. Gotcha.
Yeah, you're joking me.
Okay, yeah. What do you say, Manton?
You're ribbing
me. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah,
the same thing.
It is that. It's taking the piss. It's fucking with somebody. Are you taking the Mickey out of me?
Where does that come from?
Mickey is...
That sounds so perverse.
Weird.
Yeah, generally Mickey, I guess, is the more polite way of saying taking the piss out of someone. So it's like like the censored.
Unless that person's name is Mickey and then you're fucked.
Yeah, so I got two more. What does it mean if you're guffed? G-U-F-F-E-D, guffed.
Oh, God, I have no fucking idea.
What do you say, Manton?
It means you're pissed, just like chuffed.
What do you say, Bluester?
You're thirsty, you need a sip.
Okay, what do you say, Dylan?
Okay, I don't know. How do I follow that up?
Is that it? You got nothing? All right. Guffed, it means you're bummed out. You're sad.
Oh, I'm guffed.
Oh, I'm so guffed. The last one is a great one, and it's pretty tough. It's called a tactical chunder.
What?
A tactical chunder.
Oh, fuck, I know this
one.
Wait,
sounds like
don't
some teenage
slang.
Don't
say it then. Manton, you go ahead. What do you think it is?
It's like a gigantic blunder, a big fuck up, I guess. I don't know.
Well, think of the word tactical. I'll let you.
I don't know what that word means. I've never heard that.
Well, a tactical chunder. I don't know. Tactical doesn't make sense with what your definition is. What do you say, Bluester?
What's the phrase again?
Tactical chunder. What is a tactical chunder? I can think about what a chunder might be, and that might help you out.
Your ding dong.
Think about
my chunder is so small.
My chunder from down under.
Did all of these just sound like weird sexual innuendo? Like a chunder just kind of makes me think like the area under your balls. That's your chundra.
The chundra. The mighty chundra.
It sounds like tundra. No, like
so what's
chuff.
A tactical chunder then, Bluester?
Tactical chunder is easy. This is when you throw up preliminarily because you think you're going to throw up because a chunder's to barf,
ding,
right?
Ding, 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 yeah. Dylan.
Ding dong. That, ding dong Dylan over here.
Yes, a chunder is a throw up and a tactical chunder is when you do it in a way to help you keep drinking. So it can be not necessarily before but usually during drinking. I tend to
do that when I'm really drunk.
A tactical chunder? I'm not calling it anything but that.
I went through a phase. That's perfect. I went through a phase in college where I was doing tactical chunders on the regs. It's pretty fucked up, but it sounds so gross. It's such a funny name. But I do want to know if a chunder was the underside of your nutsack, then what would be a tactical chunder, Bluester?
How do you tactically use the underside of your nuts?
What would make your...
It's kind
of
like a hand job, but you get it rubbed down there, you know?
Well, that's the next technique.
Tactical chunder.
That's where you use both hands.
Jesus Christ.
All right. Well, on that note, on that chunder, we're going to get on out of here. And hopefully I can be on some future episodes. It's fucking hard to do it, and I'm like already scared out of my mind. I'm just gonna walk out and be like, "Hey, buddy, you're fired." So if that's the case, I'll be back on next episode. Either way, I have more stories for you guys. So subscribe to our Patreon for a mere $3, and you can hear our Shoot the Shit episode where I got some really good stories from camp that I probably shouldn't say on this episode. Or just add another few dollars and make us watch a shitty movie like we did this week. These are all three, again, listener-submitted episodes, and all you have to do is subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/horriblepodcast. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher, so rate us and add us, and we're on Twitter and emails, so talk to us there. And hopefully I'll be back next week. Either way, these guys will, because we're consistent as fuck. Thanks for listening, and stay spooky.
Ooh. Where's he going?
You like a bosquete?